Well, I worked really hard on this message. Yay for preparation. But the title of my message is called Design. I made a cool graphic to go along with it. I have the privilege and to be able to know computers in a different capacity than the other elders. I can make pretty colors. So, God bless. But I'm excited. I've been working on this message, and honestly, this message has been kind of difficult. Not because of, if anything else, that it's speaking about purpose, speaking about what God created us to do. And more often than not, when you're starting out your faith, or you're starting out your walk, or you're even going through life, you start questioning your purpose and your design, regardless of what age or time of life you're in. You question it when you first start walking with the Lord. You question it midway, and then you question it towards the end of your life. Because you're like, God, did I do the right thing? God, did I serve you effectively? And that's something that I'm currently struggling with. Not that I don't know what my purpose is or what my calling is, but I'm struggling with it because sometimes your identity can get so caught up with your calling or purpose. That the moment something is out of sync, you start losing your identity in Christ. So as I get into my message, I just kind of want to be vulnerable with you guys. I know I'm vulnerable with, pastor elders, because we talk weekly, and that's honestly such a blessing. But during this past couple weeks, my wife and my kids are in England. Yeah, they're having a great time right now. So I'm home alone with the kid, the big one, the furry one, our dog, our first baby, our golden retriever, Harvey. But the first night that they left, I walked into the house and I walked upstairs to go to sleep, walking past the kids' rooms, and I just felt so alone. And I felt like, whoa, my purpose, which is to be a father and a husband, is gone for like 3 weeks. And that was the first night, and I didn't pay any mind to it. I didn't pay any attention to it. But then as time kept going and going, I started realizing how sad I am and how lonely I am without them. And it made me realize that my purpose at that in this season has been to be a father, has been to be a husband. And so often we take that purpose for granted because it's right there in front of you, and you don't realize, man, God called me for such a time as this. And am I doing this job effectively for him? When something is removed, you start questioning. When something is separated from you, you start assessing, am I doing this correctly? And I want to encourage you with this. Don't wait until something is removed, even though this is temporary. They're coming next week. Praise God. But don't wait until something is removed from your life to start questioning if you're doing it correctly. Don't live with the regret of unfulfilled purpose. Because when we do, our identity starts shifting. And I caught myself doing that. My identity stopped being, I need to serve the Lord. And my identity started being, I'm sad and I'm depressed because I miss my kids and my wife. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message is Design. So I want to start off by saying, if you have your Bible, if you could open it up to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. So before I start reading, I kind of want to set the scene. I'm going to start at Esther chapter 4, and then I'm going to verse 10. There are moments in life when everything seems normal, until God interrupts your plans with His purpose. Most of us want to know God's purpose for our lives. We pray about it. We search for it. We worry about missing it. But here's what I've discovered. Purpose isn't usually found in comfort. Purpose is usually revealed in crisis. And that's exactly, as we read this, where we see Esther. She didn't ask in this moment to become queen. She didn't expect to save a nation. She simply found herself in a moment where God was inviting her to do something bigger than herself. And maybe that's where some of us are today. So before we get into chapter 4, let's understand what is happening in this chapter. King Ahasuerus, sound it out, made Esther queen. But no one knows that she's a Jewish, that she's a Jew. Meanwhile, Haman has convinced the king to sign a decree that every Jew in the empire should be killed. Mordecai hears these news that the entire nation is facing destruction. And then suddenly Esther becomes into a position where she has such privilege, where she is queen. So it becomes her responsibility. Because sometimes God places us somewhere where you are not for your comfort, but you are there to fulfill a calling. You are there to fulfill a purpose. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to do my best effort to read Esther chapter 4, verse 10. Then Esther told Hatak to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All of the king's officials and even the people in the province know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. So Hanak gave Esther the message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at this time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. My maid and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go and see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything Esther asked of her. This passage teaches us something about purpose that most of us need to hear. Purpose is rarely convenient. Purpose often requires courage. And purpose will usually cost you something. But purpose always serves something bigger than yourself. So my first point is this. Calling is what you do. But purpose is what you do, why you do it. Calling is what you do. But purpose is why you do it. One of the biggest misconceptions in Christians' lives is that in order to fulfill your life, you need to have a calling. And then you need to have a purpose. Yes, they are connected. Calling is what God has asked me to do. You may be called to be a teacher, a pastor, a nurse, a parent, an electrician, a business owner, or whatever. But callings often change. Moses was a prince, a shepherd, and a deliverer. Peter was a fisherman, a disciple, then an apostle. Paul was a Pharisee, a missionary, then a church planner. These assignments changed. Their assignments changed. My assignment has changed from when I first became a Christian. I'm sure if I ask any of you, your assignment has shifted since you first got saved. But purpose is this. Purpose is why has God placed me where I am? Purpose is eternal. Purpose is glorifying to God. It advances his kingdom. Purpose loves people. Purpose is to make Christ known. Purpose doesn't change. No matter what those things are in the first thing in your calling, no matter what those things are, it should always point back to God. Your calling will always point back to its purpose, which is to glorify the Father, to make him known. That will never change. In the first one that I met, in one of the ones with Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was confused about what his purpose was to point God. He was doing it in a very weird way. But even in his misunderstanding of what he was trying to do, he was still trying to point to the Father. He did it as a missionary. And then he did it as a church planner. Your purpose will never change. Your purpose will always be glory to God. Esther's example is Esther's calling was to be a queen. But becoming a queen wasn't the destination. That wasn't where God wanted her to be. Like for the long run. Being a queen was the preparation. Her purpose was to save God's people. The palace wasn't her purpose. It was simply where God positioned her to fulfill it. How many people are frustrated because they're chasing different callings while ignoring the purpose that God has already placed in front of them? How frustrated are you sometimes about the situation that you're in? I'm frustrated in this season of the situation that I'm in. My kids are not there. I miss them. I'm irritated. But what's the purpose? The purpose is to glorify God. Even while they're gone, I need to glorify God. So what I've been doing, and I've been very open about it with the pastors, I've been cleaning my house room by room, decluttering room by room, because I want my wife to come back and see, like, okay, he wasn't just laying down and doing nothing. I want her to see the God in me, that Jesus has sacrificed to clean this house and the clutter that her and our kids make. It's not me, it's them. That was a revelation that I received while they were gone. It's like, I don't make the house messy. They make the house messy.
Preach.
Right? She knows. We had a FaceTime where I show her the house, and she said, "Wow, the house. This is the cleanest the house has ever been." And she was like, "It's us, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's you." Some of you keep praying though. God, change my job, or God, I need a new destination, or God, help me get out of this position or out of this situation. Well, maybe you need to stop praying that way and start praying, God, change my perspective. Start praying, God, what is it that you need me to do here? Just like Esther. God, what is my purpose here in this season, in this moment? How am I supposed to minister the people that are around me in this season? How am I to glorify you in this season? What is my assignment in this season? Because if I learned something through my very young Christian walk, is that God doesn't move you until the job is done. He will keep you in a place for years until the job is done. His purpose takes precedence above everything else. God rarely wastes where he places people. Think about this for a second as an illustration. And this took me a while to write because I was just like, man, I need to like simplify this. And then once I wrote it, I was like, man, I'm an idiot that it took me this long. But think about a flashlight. Its purpose is to shine, bring light. Whether it's in a house, in a car, in a campfire, whatever location, its purpose doesn't change. Right? The location may change, but its purpose doesn't, which is to shine the light. That's how we need to see ourselves. Our assignment may change, but our purpose never does. Don't confuse where God has placed you with why he has placed you. Once Esther understood her purpose, everything changed. Because purpose always demands a decision. So this is my second point. Purpose requires courage. Look at Esther's first response in this scripture that we just read. She says, "If I go before the king without being invited, I could die." Isn't that crazy? If I go before the king without being invited, I could die. And honestly, that's an honest response. I was afraid. She was afraid. I would be afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid that if you were like, I'm going to go into this room and without, even if I don't have an invitation, but I'm going to die if I do. Like that's fear. Fear is going to come out of you. And no one can blame her for feeling that way. But purpose will always ask you to step out of your comfort zone. God never promised us that we would be safe. He promised us that he would be with us. God never promised us that wherever we went, we were going to be okay. He just promised that he was going to be there with us. He never promised us to feel that safe. But he did say that he would be there with you. And regardless of the outcome. And as I read this, I just kind of kept going through this realization of like, if she dies, regardless of whatever happens to her, she wins. Even if she goes in and she gets killed immediately, she wins because she's gonna be with the father. But Mordecai says these incredible words to her, to kind of like, as she says that, I'm afraid, like essentially have that fear. Mordecai says, if you keep quiet in a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. Think about that. God's plan wasn't dependent on Esther, but Esther had the opportunity to participate in God's plans. That's honestly very humbling. We don't need to be a part of his plan. You don't need to be a vessel for someone to be saved. You get to be a vessel for someone to know Christ. Me having a mic right now and being able to speak to you guys and speak to people watching online doesn't necessarily mean that I'm important. It means that God is choosing to use me. I get to be part of his plan ultimately. When I first started my ministerial career, for lack of a better term, I hated public speaking. I hated reading the Bible in public. I'm dyslexic. I don't like speaking to people. Like, I need to have something constantly in my head, in my hand. So I will always refuse to wear one of those mics that, just are right here. I know Bob and Don love them. I personally cannot, because if I do this, then I start freaking out. That's why I like to use handheld mics. But God gets to use me. That courage that was required of me to be able to speak to you guys, to be able to read these scriptures out loud to you guys, was only given to me because the revelation that I'm not important, but the message that I carry is. And that's the same thing with all of us. It's a humbling thought. We are not important, but the message that you carry is. The light that you walk with is. God doesn't need us. He invites us. He invites us to share grace with others. But then comes this verse. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Mordecai isn't just talking about royalty. He's talking about a divine position. Everything Esther had experienced, every closed door, every open door, every disappointment, every promotion, every delay, had prepared her for this moment. Have you ever considered that maybe everything you've walked through has been preparing you for what God is asking you to do in this season? All the pain that you've had, it's not wasted. All the waiting that you're doing is not wasted. All the years that you felt like you were in hiding are not wasted. God prepares people before he prepares the promotion in that position. Joseph spent years in slavery and in prison. From a human perspective, those years looked wasted. But in God's perspective, they were preparation. If Joseph has skipped the pit, he wouldn't have been ready for the palace. That's why more often than not, you are, in its human nature, people that had the hardest of struggles sometimes make the best leaders. People that know what the shadow of the valley of death is have the most empathy and sympathy. Purpose is often revealed at the intersection of preparation and opportunity. Once Esther discovered her purpose, she embraced it with courage, but now she has to act. So point three is this. Purpose demands obedience. Purpose demands obedience. Esther finally responds, "Go and gather together all the Jews." She calls for fasting before she acts. So before she even does anything, she first goes and seeks the Lord. How many of us often go and do whatever we want before we even ask the Lord what you need me to do first? And yeah, we do that for big decisions. But have you done it for regular small decisions? What do I mean by that? Before you leave your house, do you pray?
Of course.
Yes. Great. Before you go to the grocery store, do you pray? Some of us don't. Before you go to the gas station, do you pray? You're a prayer warrior, girl. Before you go to work, do you pray?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Before you make the phone call to whoever you need to make a phone call, do you pray? Seek the Lord. Because honestly, what if the Lord wants to use you right in that moment? What if the Lord wants to use you in that grocery store trip to pray for someone? To encourage someone? To love on someone? And I'm going to be honest, I am guilty of sometimes not doing that. Sometimes I'm so in my own head that I'm just like, this is my assignment and this is what I'm going to be doing. And then that's it. I'm done. But then there are moments when I'm like walking around and then I go to a store and I'm like, whoa, I feel like I need to talk to someone. And then I just start chatting with someone and I don't try to like give them the full-blown gospel. But what I do is I encourage them and I tell them, hey, you have an incredible smile. You have a fantastic personality. I just start complimenting them. And then after I do all of that, I'm like, but I want to say one more thing. I'm able to see all of this in you because God loves you. And that's all it is sometimes. Our purpose, like I said in the beginning, it always needs to point back to God. But the only way that works is if we seek him beforehand. That is the greatest lesson in this passage. Purpose is never about self-confidence, but it's about dependence. And it's about God dependence. And then Esther says these words, "If I must die, I must die." That's crazy to me. First and foremost.
Some husbands, what I said.
Yeah. But imagine being that confident in God. Imagine being that courageous and that obedient to God that you're like, whatever, if I die, I die. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. 100%. That isn't hopelessness in the situation. That is complete surrender. She is saying in that moment, my life belongs to God, and whatever happens to me, I'm going to obey God. Purpose isn't fulfillment because we know everything. Purpose is fulfillment because we trust God enough to take the next step. Esther didn't know how her story or the story would end. She just simply knew that at that moment in time, obedience was required. She just knew that obedience was required. Sometimes we don't need to know how things are going to end up. We just need to know that we need to take the first step. For me, that was one of the hardest things to do. I am stubborn. My mom will tell you this. I am stubborn. My mom told Carrie before we got married, and even after, and even now, he is stubborn. When he was little, he would make me cry how stubborn he was. I would like to say, yes, I was a problem. But because I was stubborn, I refused to accept my calling and my purpose. I refused to walk the path that God had laid out in front of me. And as a stubborn child, the only way and the only reason I was able to, I said, I'm going to church, fine, was because one day during the soccer practice, I destroyed my ankle. That I was in crutches for 6 months. And the only reason why I went to church was because, yeah, I destroyed it. It was this size. But when that happened, when that ankle injury, when it happened, I heard a voice telling me, go to church. And I know it wasn't any of my friends because all my friends were heathens at that time. I know it was God because the moment I said yes, the pain, the excruciating pain, disappeared. And I didn't go into shock. It just left. The moment I said, yes, I surrender, I'll do this, the pain left. It's not about understanding what happens next. And it wasn't for me like, okay, I'm going to say yes and it'll be done. It wasn't about understanding what was the whole picture, because who would have thought that from that moment of being laying down on a soccer field, I'd be here speaking to you guys. It was just surrendering to the next step, which the next step was saying yes to church. And then the next thing came over. And then the Holy Spirit came and just filled me with joy, and I fully surrendered. That those things happened step by step by step. But the first domino to fall was me messing up my ankle. I don't want that to be for you guys. I don't want you to be so stubborn that the Lord has to shove you into your calling, into your purpose. Purpose begins where excuses end. God doesn't ask you to know the outcome. He asks you to trust him for the next step. Great purpose is accomplished one act of obedience at a time. Purpose is accomplished with one act of obedience at a time. One thing that leads next to the next, to the next, to the next. So maybe today you're asking, God, what is my purpose in this season? Perhaps the better question is, God, where have you already placed me? What are you asking me to do right here, right now? Because maybe you're exactly where you need to be for such a time as this. And maybe you just need to fully surrender, have courage, and be obedient to the purpose that he has set out in front of you, which is to shine your light and glorify his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, I pray that as we walk with purpose. I pray that as we go out, we walk with purpose and understand that our purpose is not only to just be, but it's to glorify your name wherever we may be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.